Dubbed the Queen of Crime by the LA Times, Edna Buchanan has covered more crime than most cops. She's won a Pulitzer Prize for news reporting. Edna Buchanan commanded Miami's police beat for 18 years. She reported on more than 5,000 violent deaths, 3,000 of them murders. She also covered kidnappings, riots, fatal fires, major plane crashes, and other disasters. 1981 was the high point of murder in Miami-Dade, with 621. In that year, Miami experienced the greatest increase in murders per capita that any city had ever recorded. It meant that Miami had the highest murder rate in the country. It also meant that a police reporter like Edna could drive to work in the morning knowing there would almost certainly be at least one murder to write about. Edna has written 18 books, including two classic true crime memoirs, The Corpse Had a Familiar Face and Never Let Them See You Cry. Much of her work features the heartbeat and hot breath of Miami, a restless, dynamic, and mercurial city. And now, Edna's new book, A Dark and Lonely Place, is a blend of fact and fiction, past and present. It's the story of John Ashley, Miami homicide sergeant and fictional descendant of the real John Ashley, a trapper and gator hunter raised in the Glades. 100 years ago, he was accused of murder and sentenced to hang. With nothing to lose, the original John Ashley escaped jail with his sweetheart, often called Queen of the Everglades. Together, they embarked on a legendary 10-year crime spree ranging from bank robbery, bootlegging, and piracy. Very Bonnie and Clyde. Welcome, Edna. Thanks so much for stopping by the book report.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. The book fair and seeing you, it's just like Christmas morning and New Year's Eve and my birthday rolled into one, because when you work alone at home all year, it's nice to get out among your own people.
Yeah. The main character of your new book is based on the real John Ashley and his sweetheart, whose name I love, Laura Up the Grove. Gotta love that. What made you write this story, and how did you decide to blend historical fact with modern day fiction?
Well, you know, from I love history, and I love news, and you know, news is like the first draft of history. And years ago, when I first got a newspaper job, I used to love to go back to the morgue when I had time and read, you know. I went a lot to the morgue at the medical examiner's office and then the morgues at the newspapers because I'd love to dig and read about old stories. And the first thing I read was an old column about Laura, and they said that she had hanged herself in their Everglades hideout after John was killed in a shootout with the law. And it just was so interesting. It sounded so sad, so tragic, star-crossed lovers. And it was fascinating. And then when I got to the Herald, I read more about him. And still, you know, I was busy covering crime. And the city was so different than it was 100 years ago when John and Laura were there. And every once in a while, I think about it as I was out there covering crime. And we had the perfect storm of the Mariel boat lift and the McDuffie riots and the cocaine wars, the cocaine cowboys. And I think, gee, what would John and Laura think of this? And I always wanted to write about it, but I wasn't sure how. And their voices were just echoes from the past, and they were like ghostly images in my mind. And then one night in the Herald morgue, I was looking for something else, and I came upon this old photograph. And it was this handsome young man, probably still in his teens, wearing a white suit and a spiffy black tie. And his grin was so infectious, I had to smile back. And that was the first time I ever saw John Ashley's face. And he became real. The legend became real. And I really, you know, he was smiling, and he looked so happy. And he came from a good family, had 9 siblings. None of them had ever had run-ins with the law. His family was extremely well-liked and hardworking. And there he was with his whole, you know, he just beamed, and his whole life was stretched out before him like a promise. And there was no way he could know how broken that promise would be, that in a few short years he'd be the most notorious man in Florida, wanted by the British, wanted by the federal authorities, wanted by all the local sheriffs, his face on wanted posters everywhere. And from my observation point, it was so poignant, from my view on the observation deck of history, looking back – seeing his picture and knowing now what he didn't know then. And one hot night, I was out there covering crime, and we were number one in homicide in the country, and under this full moon, and I just thought, what would John and Laura think of all this? And at that time, Time magazine had come out with the story Paradise Lost, that South Florida was lost to violence and crime. And of course, they were wrong, because I knew that South Florida had always been violent. It was just Miami doing what it does over and over again. Everything is cyclical. You know, like in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. In the 20s, the rum runners were being chased in fast boats up and down the Miami River by federal agents. In the 80s, drug smugglers were being chased up and down the Miami River by federal agents in fast boats. You know, nothing really changes. I was thinking about John and Laura a lot and thought, and I was just going from murder scene to murder scene to murder scene, but I was thinking, what if they were here today? What would they think of this? Or better yet, what if their fictional descendants were here in Miami? And they ran into the same chain of events, absolutely out of their control, that caused John and Laura to go into on the run and have the short lives that they lived. And how would they fare? Would they be able to change their own destiny? Or if you have that DNA, you know, that outlaw imprint in your genes, does it always have to end the same way? And I really thought about that a lot, and that was when I knew that someday I would write this book. And of course, for half my life, I wanted to write this book, and finally here it is. But I loved the research, and I loved John and Laura. I'm having like postpartum depression now, because I've spent most of the last several years with John and Laura, and now I probably will not revisit them, and I miss them already. They're far more real to me than my neighbors and my friends, because I, you know, was working so hard on the book for so long.
And you are famous for the classic Edna leads. I mean, that throughout the industry and throughout across the country, that's kind of your trademark.
Yeah, I always loved to write a lead on a story that would cause, I always pictured, I never wrote for the editors, I wrote for the readers, and I could picture them in my head as I was writing. And I would think about this couple sitting at their breakfast table, and he'd be reading the newspaper, and all of a sudden he'd spit up his coffee and say, "My God, Martha, did you read this?" And that would be my idea of a lead that worked.
I know your three cardinal rules of journalism are never trust an editor, never trust an editor, never trust an editor.
Yep, that's, you know, because they can mess up your story. They can put mistakes in it. They can take the best lines out. They can write headlines that don't match and make sense. So newspaper editors can embarrass you. They can burn your sources. So that's why I had no personal life even before we became number one in homicide, because I always had to stay and look over their shoulders as they edited my story. If I had to leave, I would take a hard copy with me and call over the phone and say, "Okay, did you make any changes? And what does it say?" You know, because sometimes if they have to tighten a story for some reason, you want to sort of help them figure out what to cut instead of just lopping it right in the middle or something. Yeah. So I always say to young journalism students, never trust an editor, never trust an editor, and never trust an editor, no matter how good an editor he is.
Well, your book is wonderful. I recommend it to anybody. A Dark and Lonely Place. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.